Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
And this week's Torah reading is going to be Deuteronomy 21:10 to 25:19. Now, for those of you that are joining us for the first time or are not familiar with the Torah portion, it's not a Jewish thing. It's a Bible thing. This is a thing that was the foundation of Scripture for all the people we know in Scripture in the Renewed Covenant, also known as the New Testament. The Bible is not two books. It's one book. And we need to separate that page that takes the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it needs to be one. And we need to look at it as a complete book with these instructions and guidelines. And the first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis, going all the way to Deuteronomy, are filled with the important instructions of the will of our Creator and how He wanted us to live and carry out our lives. It's beyond what we're doing today, but it's what we need to strive to do. Now, I don't want anyone to get confused before we get into today's teaching. The Torah and these instructions are not a salvation issue. If you're not meeting these instructions perfectly, it doesn't mean you've lost your salvation or you don't have salvation. The salvation issue we could discuss in another video, and that is where we get into understanding who Yeshua, our Messiah, is, the one they call Jesus, and what his role is and what his importance was. But these instructions and guidelines in the beginning of time are what our Creator wanted us to follow and how He wanted us to live for our safety, for our blessings, for our life, and for His plan to be carried out for us. It says in the Scriptures, know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you hope. The Torah is His plan for that future and that hope. There's another verse in the Scripture that says, there's a way before each man that seems right but ends in death. And that's the way many people have chosen to live today. I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. When you make that decision to follow the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, you are choosing life. Now, we're going to look at this week's Torah reading, which is the 49th reading of this year. It's Deuteronomy 21:10 to 25:9. Now, I will be the first to admit in this week's Torah reading, there are a lot of rules and regulations that we can't even comprehend and do not make sense to us about slaves and killing rebellious children and all this. We need to take the Bible in a literal way, but we also need to understand the culture at that time versus the culture today. The Bible doesn't change. Our Creator doesn't change. His instructions for us, the principles don't change, but the culture has changed. So we need to consider that when we're looking at these things and consider what the culture was then as we're reading these guidelines and instructions. So when you hear somebody today say, well, I don't believe in the Bible because they talk about slavery, or I don't believe in the Bible because they talk about stoning and all this. Fast forward that to a culture today. The purpose of slavery in Scripture was not about oppression. It was about a support for somebody who needed it. It was about taking care of everyone around you in the way that the system was formed back then. Slavery today is oppression, so I understand why some people would think that, but it's not the way it was back then. So that's just to give you a little background of the importance of this Torah, the guidelines, the instructions, and so on. So this week, we're going to look at something that the principle still stands through to today. And I haven't heard anyone teaching on this important topic. So I think it's extremely important we get out our Bibles and we look at this. So the Torah reading is 21:10 to 25:19. And we read through the Torah every week before the Sabbath, the Saturday, or when we read it, when we do the teaching. And as we're reading this Torah reading this week, we're going to focus on two or three scriptures that are in the first chapter here of our reading. So, 25 verse 10 says, when you go out to battle against your enemies, and Yah your Elohim has given them into your hands, and you have taken them captive. So, it talks about once you've accomplished your goal. You went out to battle, and our Creator has given the enemies into your hand. These were instructions of what to do with them. So understand where we are and what it says. And it says in verse 11 of 21 of Deuteronomy, it says, and suppose you see the captives, a beautiful woman, and you are attracted to her and want to marry her. So that's what it says in verse 11. And that's one of the things we're going to focus on. Then it says, if this happens, you may take her to your home, where she must shave her head and cut her nails and change the clothes she was wearing when she was captured. She will stay in your home, but let her mourn for her father and mother for a full month. Then you may marry her, and you will be her husband, and she will be your wife. But if you marry her and she does not please you, you must let her go free. You may sell her, or you may not sell her or treat her as a slave, for you have humiliated her. So this is a verse that a lot of people read over. They don't think about it. And I am going to teach on this today because it's important to understand what is going on here. And we're going to fast forward here to verse 22, verse 5, because this is going to be another part of this teaching today. In verse 22, verse 5, it says, there shall not be a thing of a man on a woman, nor shall a man put on a woman's garments. For whoever does these things is an abomination to Yah, your Elohim. So these are the two verses we're going to talk about or focus on today, because it's important to figure out what's going on here. Now, if you could turn your turn to Numbers 33:55. 33:55 in your scriptures says, but if you fail to drive out the people who live in a land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you live. So let's look at where we are in the book of Deuteronomy as we go through these verses and through the Torah reading. The children of Israel left Egypt, where they were captive. They spent all this time in the wilderness, and now here they go into the promised land, and there were a whole bunch of people already living there. That our Creator helped the children of Israel to be victorious over those people to take the land. And our Creator gave instructions of what to do and not to do with those people. And basically, His instructions all throughout the Torah was, destroy them. Separate yourself from them. Do not follow their customs, because if you do, they will be a problem for you. You will start to go after their guards, and this is going to be a tremendous issue. So in Numbers 33:55, we look at one of the many areas it talks about throughout Scripture where it says, if you fail to drive out the people who live in a land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you live. Now, if you fail to drive them out, it was only because you weren't trusting and listening to our Creator, because He promises you will be able to destroy them. So Moses led the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years until they got to the promised land. But something interesting happened right before they went into the promised land. Moses died, and a new person was appointed to take them into the promised land, and it was Joshua. And Joshua led them into the promised land, and when Joshua became old and he was about to die, he gave them his last final instructions in Joshua chapter 23. It says in chapter 23 from verse 5 to verse 14, this land will be yours, for the Lord your Elohim will Himself drive out all the people living there now. You will take possession of the land just as the Lord your Elohim had promised you. So now when we think about that verse in itself, and we go back to the previous verse, it says, if you fail to drive out the people. But here in Joshua, it says, this land will be yours, for our Creator Himself drove out the people or will drive out the people living there. So we see this here, the difference. The people had a choice to drive them out. Our Creator said he will drive them out himself, but the people had to listen to our Creator. It says, but if you fail to drive them out, if you fail to be obedient. So now we continue it. Joshua 23, verse 6. It says, so be careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instructions, which is the Torah. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or left. Make sure you do not associate with other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them or serve them or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to Elohim, Yah, your Elohim, as you have done until now. So he's telling and warning them, when you go into this land, do not associate with the other people. Now, here comes the warning, because all this time in Scripture, when they gave the instructions, they gave a warning what would happen if you don't follow them. Verse 12 of Joshua 25 says, but if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then for certain, Yah, your Elohim, will no longer drive them out of your land. So here's a warning, not to cling to their customs and not to intermarry with them. And then it says, goes on to say, instead, they will be a snare and trap you, a whip for your backs, a thorny brimes in your eyes, and you will vanish from the good land Yara Elohim has given to you. So when we think about this, it seems kind of contradictory to what it said earlier. It says, if you go in and you take a woman captive and she's beautiful and you take her as a wife, it says you may marry her. And if you take her as a wife, and it gives these instructions. But here in Joshua, Joshua's saying, do not intermarry. Do not follow their customs with these survivors. Do not deal with them. So why did this happen? And here is what my study and prayer has shown me that I want you to understand and how it applies to us today. I will submit to you the customs of immodesty lead people to lust. Our Creator has a history of modesty for men and women. And when immodesty is around, lust is spurred up. Keep that in mind, because this was the customs of the people that the children of Israel were warned not to intermarry with, not to mingle with, not to associate with, but to destroy them, to get rid of them, to separate themselves from them. This is what's happening. We continue to read Joshua 23 and what he was saying towards the end. He says, soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of Yah, your Elohim, has come true. Not a single one has failed. And Joshua gives them this warning in verse 15 and says, but as surely as Yah, your Elohim, has given you the good things he promised, he will also bring disaster on you if you disobey him. He will completely destroy you from the good land that he has given you if you break the covenant of Yah, your Elohim, by worshiping and serving other gods. His anger will be burned against you. You will quickly vanish from the land he has given you. So we have a president here that says, Yah will go before you. He will wipe out all your enemies. If you follow his guidelines and instructions, this land will be yours and you will be fine. Everything would be wonderful for you in this land. But if you do not listen to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, it's going to bring disaster on you. These people are going to become a snare in your eyes. Do not go and worship their gods, whatever you do, or Yah will take this land away from you. And what we have here when we go back to this week's Torah reading and we see where it says, if you see the captives, a beautiful woman attracted, this was an immodest woman. It was an immodest culture at that time. It was an immodest woman that opened up the lust, the heart and the eyes of the lust of man was opened up to see this woman, where without even knowing who she was, Yah says the beauty of a woman is eternally and it comes out. But without even knowing who this woman was, just seeing the beautiful form of this woman, this man of the children of Israel wanted to take her as a wife. Wanted to take her as a wife. It wasn't too long ago we saw in another Torah reading about Balak and Balaam in Numbers 25 when Moab seduced Israel. And the way they did it, we weren't able to conquer them in war or anything like that. But it says in Numbers 25, while the Israelites were camped at Asiah Grove, some of the men defiled themselves by having sexual relations with the local Moabite women. These women invited them to attend the sacrifices of their gods. So the Israelites feasted with them and worshiped the gods of Moab. In this way, Israel joined in the worship of Baal Peor, causing Yah's anger to blaze against his people. We have to go back and see what we're looking at here today. Joshua told them, be surely, do not worship the other gods. And the instructions were, when you go in and you see a woman that's attractive to you, when you see a woman that's attractive to you, but then it goes on to say, it says, when you see this and this is happening, it says, take her into your home. Change her clothes she was wearing when she was captured. She was most likely following the customs of those people and wearing something very immodest. And the men of Israel that came into the town and saw this were attracted through their lust to the immodest woman, to see things they shouldn't be seeing. No man should be seeing a naked woman except his wife. Okay, maybe when he's a child, his mother, maybe his siblings in the house. But you know what I'm getting at. A man shouldn't be seeing the form and the nakedness of a woman unless his wife. And in the courtship and instructions of Yah, that cultivation and beauty of that woman is going to come out through getting to know her. And that's how you're going to know the woman is from Yah, the woman is for you. And it's going to work out fine for you. But they lived in a culture back then, and we live in a culture today the same way. Men are worshiping and lusting after the outer beauty of a woman. They're not getting to know the inner beauty of a woman, which it talks about in scripture of how to identify the true beauty of a woman from an inner character. And men on the street today are falling for the same issue that they fell for back then. You see, in Torah, there's principles that we need to learn and take with us today. And men are doing the same thing. They are attracted to women through the lust of their eyes, through the immodesty and vanity of women today that society is promoting, that the enemy is behind, that the demons are behind. And they're making men, even men of Yah, attracted to the wrong type of women. For the wrong reasons, in the wrong way, not getting to know them, but just simply because of the way they look. That's what happened when we look at this week's Torah reading. And you suppose you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and you are attracted to her and want to marry her. This is the problem today. Men are going on the street, seeing an attractive, beautiful woman, and they will want to create a situation where they're giving up their lives for that woman who they don't even know. So marriage is looked at in a different way today, but they're connecting with this woman. They're fornicating with this woman. They're giving up all their money and their life and everything for a woman just simply because of her attractiveness, for her nakedness, for her shame, which Yah calls it. But Yah tried to fix this. In this week's Torah reading, as we saw, it says, if this happens, you may take her to your home, but you must shave her head and cut her nails. Now, I can only imagine, after seeing the women today, how much they worship their hair and how they make their hair all sexy. Our Creator says the hair is the glory and the beauty of the woman, that the woman should have her head covered during prayer. Well, if a true woman of Yah is ceasing, praying without ceasing, our hair would be covered a good amount of time. But we look at this. The hair is worshipped today, and it's one of the most attractive things that a woman today. And Yah says that woman should shave her head and to cut her nails. I can only imagine with seeing the woman, the way the women carry their nails today, all fancy and long and everything else, how it must have been then. But Yah said, strip her of her immodesty. This is what he's saying in this week's Torah. Suppose you see among the captives a beautiful woman or an immodest woman, and you are attracted to her immodesty, to her body, which you shouldn't be seeing at this point, and you want to marry her. You're about to give up your life for the woman you don't even know. If this happens, you may take her in your home, Yah says, but take away her beauty. Take away her immodest, take it away. Shave her fancy hairstyle. Cut off her fancy nails and change those immodest clothing, what she was wearing when she was captured, and let her stay in your house. It says to let her mourn for her mother and father. But it says, let her stay in a house and for a month, you know, let her mourn them. So Yah's taking this situation where maybe a young man, a young soldier is going in and he sees this immodest woman. He's attracted to her, knowing nothing about her. And he says, all right, you're interested in that woman? Take her in your home. Take off her beauty. Put some modest clothes on that woman. Cover up her nakedness. Take off away her hair and her nails. Let her walking around modest and walking around modest. And now she's going to mourn her parents. So now you're seeing her in a mourning state. You still want to go and marry her after that? Now that you're seeing her at I won't say her worst, but you're not seeing her walking around flaunting her body and everything else. You know, he's trying. This is what he's done. He's trying to help people. He allows people to do what they want to do. The free will of our Creator allows people that they want to do. But immodesty and leads to lust. Lust leads to improper worship. And that's what happened with Balaam and Balak. And that's what's happening today. And we need to be careful. Men, if you truly think the woman that you know is from Yah, you must learn to cultivate her inner beauty and get to know her for her inner beauty, not for her outer physical appearance that every man in the world are seeing and lusting after. This is what we see here. Somebody might say, why did Yah give this woman or instructions to the man to marry him? He didn't. He said, suppose you see this woman, if you want to marry her. He didn't say you should marry her. It says, if you desire to marry her. If you desire, and we look at that word desire, if this happens. He didn't say go and marry her right away. He said, wait, get to know her. Get to see her situation. Let her stay in your home. But if you marry her and then she doesn't please you, let her go free. Now, I have a whole lecture on this other topic. A whole thought thinking about this other topic, because that is not scripture. If you marry her, and she doesn't please you, you know, since you humiliate her, don't treat her as a slave and let her go free. That's another lecture for another time. We'll get to that part. But the point is, do not let your eyes deceive you and don't let lust carry you away. Don't let lust carry you away. This is a message for today. And we must understand this. We must get this. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 3 verse 5 says, our Creator, our wonderful Creator Yah, knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like Him, knowing both good and evil. See, our Creator designed us in a way, even though we had a vision, He didn't want us to know certain things. He didn't want us to understand certain things. Adam and Eve didn't need clothes back then because the whole comprehension of lusting and nakedness and shame, they weren't even concepts back then. They weren't subjects back then. But when we go to Genesis 3:7, it says, at that moment when they ate the fruit, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. The wickedness in the world that was not supposed to be even touched by man, understood by man, had changed once their eyes were opened. And at that point, the lustful desires took place. And the motivation for what men and women did changed. And the world had gone wrong since that point. Prior to that, you wouldn't have these issues. You know, we look at the result of the sin and what it's cost and what it costs us today. And once their eyes were opened, this lustful desire to look at the outer beauty of women happened. See, up to that point, Yah wanted it to be the inner beauty to shine through a woman, to be exalted in men. But it changed at that point, and everything went wrong from there. Not a couple of verses later in verse 6, it says, the people began to multiply on the earth, and the daughters were born to them. The sons of Yah saw the beauty of the woman, saw the beautiful woman, and took them to be their wives. This is the problem we have today. This wasn't a good thing, and it's not a good thing today for a man to see a woman and he wants her to be a wife, his wife. Anytime in scripture a man saw a woman and wanted her to be his wife without knowing that woman, it was part of physical attraction and lust and things like this. It was only when a man saw the inner beauty and the inner character of a woman that he could truly know the woman was truly from Yah. Now, there are different cultures and different times back then when people got married right away, and marriage and ceremonies were looked at different back then, and covenants were looked at different back then. So there were certain ideas and exceptions to this when it was truly granted by Yah, where somebody would see a woman and know that woman was from Yah and take her as his wife. But for the most part, we look at the corruption that happened when man's eyes were open and they started to desire the outer beauty of women. And women desired the things that Yah punished them for.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life Ministry. Jesus
loves me, this I know. Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Portions of WCNO's broadcast day are underwritten by Palm Beach Ironworks, specializing in structural steel fabrication and installation. Palm Beach Ironworks also provides machine shop services, welding, press brake, shear and brake, and they work with steel, stainless steel, or aluminum. Located at 7768 Belvedere Road in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach Ironworks can be reached at 561-683-1816.